This morning, my message is let God be God. Let God be God. Your life, I'm going to break some of your hearts right now, is not about trying to decide who to pick on. It's not about coon hunting. I did some coon hunting this week. It was fun. It's not about a boy, teenage girl. Wife, it's not about your husband. Your life is about your relationship with God. My life is about my relationship to God. Would you say that this morning? My life is about my relationship to God. Let's say it again. My life is about my relationship to God. You need to get up in the morning and you need to say that. Because that's what your life is about. Now, in the garden, it all changed. And it's never been the same since. And you see, it's because the relationship changed. But here's the thing about the relationship. One person in the relationship didn't change. God did not change. We changed. We changed. And it's about us learning how to relate to God right. I'm not God. And I want to stop wanting to be God. Because that's part of our problem. In 2 Samuel 16, verses 9 through 12, do you remember this story? David was fleeing from his son Absalom. Now you thought you had family problems. But David's son, Absalom, can you imagine, Janice, your son turning on Kenny? It just doesn't make sense. But you see, that's humanity. You got to remember sometimes, you got to remember that the third human killed the fourth human. That's who we are. Now, that's not who we're meant to be. And so David is fleeing from his son. And insults of insults, this guy named Shimei, they're crossing a creek, and that's not a good place for someone to want to throw rocks at you. Because if there's anywhere you can find some rocks to throw, it's at the creek. I mean, that's just bad. Wasn't in the field that this guy shows up. He shows up at the creek when they're crossing the creek, and he starts cussing David out. He starts cursing him. He starts cussing. He starts picking up those rocks that are meant for skipping and making big splashes, and he starts hurling them at David. Now, David's got a loyal man of God, a good elder. We could call him a really good deacon that's in his life. And he says, Abishai says, let me go over and cut his head off. And David says, no. And this is what he says of 16, verse 9. It says, and Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Now this is God's anointed man. You got to remember, David himself repented and felt bad when Saul was trying to kill him because he snuck up behind him and cut off a little piece of his coat. And he felt bad for it. He would not touch the Lord's anointed. And he said, let me go over now and cut off his head. But the king said, what do I have to do with you, O son of Zeruiah? If he curses and if the Lord has told him, curse David, then who shall say, what have you done so? Why have you done so? Then David said to Abishai and all his servants, behold, my son who came from me seeks my life. How much more now this Benjamite? Now that was the family of Saul, the former king. Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord has told him. Man, And then he says, perhaps the Lord will look on my affliction and return good to me instead of his cursing this day. David let Shimei throw stones and curse him because David was not looking at Shimei. He wasn't looking at Shimei. He was looking to God. David was trusting God. What are you hungry for? What are you hungry for? Pastor Dustin talked about it. What are you hungry for? Are you hungry for more attention from the world? Are you hungry? What do you worship? A new pair of cowboy boots? The latest high heels? A new purse? What are you hungry for? Your kids to just be perfect? What do you want? If you had the power to make changes in your life, what would you do? Now, I was kind of scared to even say this because I'm afraid I'll lose some of you. Because you'll spend the rest of the service not listening to me, but thinking of all the things that you would like to change in your life. What would you want to do? When I was younger, I would have liked to have changed my height. Because every other Davidson except me is over 6 foot. But I got cheated half an inch. So I'd have liked to have been taller. I'd have liked to have had a bigger bone structure. When I was younger, I'd have liked to have had a slower metabolism because it did not matter what I ate. I couldn't put on weight. I'd eat raw eggs and bananas and stick them in the blender and it did not make any difference at all. Now I'd like to slow down speed my metabolism up a little bit. There's times when I thought I'd like to increase my IQ. I'd have liked to have done my master's as soon as I finished my undergrad. I'd like to never have another headache or a sinus issue. I'd like to make my friends better looking. You know what? That's kind of scary, isn't it? It's really kind of scary when you think about it. Because if God made you and He ordained you, did not He want Mark Davidson to be 5'11.5", the half inch matters when your son's 6'7" and your other one's 6'3". Okay, it matters. But God, do I want to be God? I don't want to be God. And in Job chapter 1, you know the story of Job. He was the richest man in the East. This guy was a multi-billionaire. He was loaded and he was blessed. Not only was that blessed, he had 4 sons and the 3 prettiest girls in the whole country were his daughters. I mean, this guy had it going on for him. And in 1 hour, he lost it all. He lost all the blessings that he'd been given. And it says in Job chapter 1, verses 18 through 22, while he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came from across the wilderness, struck the 4 corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they died. And I alone have escaped to tell you. He lost all of his income, all of his fortune, and his children, all in a matter of an hour. And it says, then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground. And it doesn't say he cried. It says he fell to the ground and worshiped. Now that's mind-boggling, isn't it, JD? He hit his knees, and this is what he said. Naked I came from, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's what you said, Rachel. I'm going to continue praising Him. He let God be God. And then, a little while later, he even lost his health. And his response to this was, shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? But he did not lose the thing that mattered most in his life. And that was he kept a right relationship to God. Through it all, he kept a right relationship to God. And in verse 22 it says, in the New American Standard, it says, through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Because let me tell you what happens to us. When things stop going good, our inclination is to start sinning. That's it. I've been there. That's our inclination. But he did not blame God. He did not question the righteousness of God. In fact, I looked this up, and in almost every translation, it says the same thing. Even in the Message, he did not blame God. But in the English Standard Version and in the Authorized Standard Version, they translate it, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. In the ESV, it says, in all this Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. And you see, that's it. Because if he had charged God with wrong, the person that would have been wrong would have been Job. God always gets it right. And Job, when he has lost everything, and then he loses his health, he does not say, God, you're wrong. But he keeps praising God and saying, God, you're always right. I don't have to understand it. I just have to understand that he is God. And so David's fleeing from his son, and insult on top of insult, Shimei starts hurling rocks at him. And he says, leave the man alone. Maybe God told him to do it. You see, it's about trusting God. We don't understand. We get older, especially if you get in your, you know, they call it men's midlife crisis. And some of it, some do go through a crisis, but we all question. Us men, you get there and you go, man, back hurts. Not as bad as my knees. Why in the world didn't I do something different with my life? Why did I hire that guy? Why didn't I stay in college? Or you go, why in the world did I stay in college? I'd like to work with my hands. And we begin to question instead of praising God, because God, you got to trust Him that He's got your life in His hands. That He's working all things for good. We need to learn from Job and from David. They did not blame. They didn't place their trust in anyone else. They placed their trust wholly in God. Proverbs 3 and 5, it's a powerful one. It's right beside my toothbrush. So I can read it every day. And I usually have to, because for some reason I don't have it taped there and it keeps falling down. And it says, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And I got to remind myself of that every single day of my life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. See all those changes you would like to make about your life? See, what you're doing there when you think that way is you're starting to depend on yourself, on your understanding. And you see, your understanding's limited. That's how you got in the situation to begin with. That's why you chose the choices you made. You're depending on yourself. And if you're depending on yourself, then you're not depending on God. It says, don't depend on your own understanding. Don't depend on your own understanding. You see, your dependency has to be upon Him. Because there's going to be times, Jared, when you're going to question God. Because every man that's been called to give his life in the service of the church and ministry, there's moments, especially Monday sometimes, you wake up and you say, what in the world did I get myself into? For the rest of you, do the same thing. You say, do I really want to get burnt today by slag? Right, Mitchell? And you see, you can't depend on your understanding. You got to depend upon His. And you got to go back to what Rachel said. I'm going to continue to praise God, because Psalms 34 and 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. You see, you've got to be satisfied with God. You got to be satisfied with God. And let me tell you something. You can have everything if you could sit down this afternoon and you could make it all just perfect. Refrigerator clean. I mean everything in your life. Your sock drawer perfect. None of them mismatched. Everything. If you could get it, all of it right, would you be satisfied with God? Adam and Eve had all their needs met. All their needs met. Adam had the perfect job because man was meant to work. So, okay. Young people, you're going to have to work. Okay? Even in heaven, we're going to have jobs. But the great thing about it is you're going to love your job. It's going to be your dream job. You're going to love it. You're going to get satisfaction from it because you're created in God's image. One of the things He does is He works with us all the time. Okay? You're going to love it. They had a job. Their job was to take care of the Garden of Eden. But there was something in them. They disobeyed. They were deceived. And what was that deception? What was that deception? That deception was that they could be their own God. That was it. That's what the serpent said to him. Well, you'll be like God. You eat this, you're going to have the knowledge that He has. And that kind of sounds, you know, like a pretty good deal. But it ain't working out too good, is it? You see, because what you've got to do is you've got to obey. You've got to obey. Becca, thank you. I've done that. When I was a youth pastor, Becca, there was a girl in my youth group, I promise, that looked just like you, even acted like you, and her name was Rachel. Forgive me, Mom and Dad. You shouldn't have named her Rachel. You weren't listening to God. See, there you go. You know, that's our nature. We just want to blame everybody else. And then what you got to do is you come to church and you think it's going to be great, and then you struggle not getting your feelings hurt. And then I go home and think, why in the world? I'm not qualified to do this. I can't even get their names right. They wanted to be their own God. That was it. The Tower of Babel. After the Lord flooded the earth, you know what man did? Man said, God will never do that to us again. That's what he said. He said, we're going to build a tower so big that he can never flood us again. And so what's the premises behind that? So I can do whatever I want. And God can't judge me. But it didn't work out real good. Now, thanks to that and our sinful nature, y'all got to take Spanish. And we don't have a good understanding of even our English language because it's deprived from Latin and all kinds of things. Man thinks he's the master of his fate. William Ernest Henley wrote a poem, Invictus. Read the whole thing. It's pretty interesting. But he's dead wrong. Because it ends and he says, I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. No, you ain't. You are not, and I don't want to be. My prayer is that I don't want to be the captain of my soul. I want Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who has all the understanding. I want Him to be the captain of my soul. I want Him to be the master of my fate. So Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, and I'm running out of time, but it's really good. It's okay, we're not coming back tonight. So Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 14, I wanted to read the whole thing. Will y'all promise to go home and read it? Okay? Genesis chapter 22, okay? If you don't want to read, get the Bible app, okay? There's a little speaker thing up there at the top. You can pick your translation and you can hit it and it will read it to you. Okay? No excuse for not getting through the New Testament at least in a year anymore. Because you can listen to it on the way to work. New Living Translation, Authorized Standard Version, New Century Version. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then talk to one of the teenagers and they'll explain it to you. But Abraham is, Hope's not in here, is she? Looking around. I guess I could pick on Becca or Rachel, whatever her name is. But Abraham, he takes a couple of melatonin because he's getting older and he don't sleep very good, right? Yeah. They don't help. But anyway, he gets to sleep and God wakes him up, gives him a dream. Really sounds more like a nightmare. He says, Abraham, I want you to get up in the morning. I want you to get the wood splitter out. I want you to split some wood. I want you to get your knife. I want you to sharpen it. I want you to get some matches. I want you to load up the pickup. I want you to go up to this hill that I tell you. And I want you to take Isaac, your son, that you love. That you love. Your only son. That you love with all your heart. I want you to take him up there. I want you to tie him to an altar with a bunch of wood underneath him so you can set him on fire after he's dead. And I want you to kill him. I want you to show me that you love me. And I want you to worship you in this way. Abraham wakes up, gets his coffee, gets his hands to cut the wood, and they load up. Abraham gets a knife. He gets Isaac, and they head up to the mountain. They're on the way to the mountain, walking up the mountain, and Isaac looks at him. Isaac's a pretty intelligent kid. He says, Dad, don't get it. He said, you got a knife, we got the fire, we got the matches. What are we going to sacrifice? I don't see no lamb. And Abraham says, I think he probably paused for a second. And he says, the Lord Himself will provide the lamb. Now let me just throw this in here, the right word, because we read different translations. But if you're reading from the Aramaic, the Hebrew, the word right there is lamb, the little guy, the lamb. They get up there, and can you imagine Tyson, Hope, the firstborn, you love her, you prayed for her, whole life, diagnosed with diabetes at what, 3? Is that right? Around 3 years old. Church prayed, Sunday school class prayed. Prayed for a miracle. Now Hope is involved. I mean, she was up here on the platform last two Sundays, leading in worship. She's back there helping her mom right now. She's a good kid. And God says, Tyson, kill her. And Abraham says, yes, God. Yes, God. And he went to take care of us. What was it? What was he going to do? He was going to kill his son. But that's not what he was going to do. He was going to worship God. Job loses his. All of them. Loses his fortune, everything he's worked for. And what does he do? He worships God. David's fleeing for his life. He's being cussed at. Shimei is throwing rocks at him. And what does David do? He says, leave him alone. Maybe God's told him to curse me. And maybe God will have mercy on me. What is that? That's worship. All of them were worshiping. You see, you've got to keep praising Him. You've got to keep worshiping Him. God is God, and you are not. And so you've got to make the choice in your life. Who are you going to worship? What are you going to worship? Are you going to worship God? Are you going to trust Him? Are you going to let Him be God? Or are you going to worship something else? You will worship. We all were. We were made to worship. Are you worshiping God? Are you letting God be God? I'm going to ask the worship team to come. And you see, God, He's God. And no matter what happens in life, Tori, He's got a plan. No matter what through, when your life doesn't turn out right, when you go through a divorce, when you lose your job, when you graduate from high school and you're not sure what's going to happen, you got to worship God. And then you sit back and you patiently watch Him be God. And you let Him be God. So Abraham had the knife. And I mean, he lifted it up. Man, this goes against, but God had spoke to him. Of course, we know that He didn't kill him. Because the angel of the Lord said, put down the knife, stop, don't harm the boy. And Abraham stopped. And he looked over. The Lord spoke and said, now I know that you obey my voice. There's a whole other sermon in that, obeying His voice, not our voice. And he looked over and there was a ram, big old male sheep, a good one, tangled up in the thorn bushes. That didn't just happen. Come on. You can't tangle a ram up like that. That sucker will butt his way out. He goes over and he sacrifices him. Well, you know it wasn't a lamb. Because when he spoke, Jesus, and when he said, God will provide the lamb, Jesus is the lamb. And you see, it all goes back. We go back to the garden when we said we want to be God. But Jesus came. God the Son came to set us free from ourselves so that we could be free from the sin that entangles our lives and we could be reconciled one day into perfect relationship with Him when we're free of the thorns and the entanglement. Jesus is the Lamb. But we got to wait for it. We got to wait for it. And in the meantime, when your world falls apart, or whether it's just you're just discouraged, you just don't feel good, in all those things, Job never said, "God, you're wrong," but he always worshiped Him. He worshiped Him. Let God be God. Your life is about your relationship with Him. You've got to keep it right. You've got to let Him be God, and you've got to keep worshiping Him. My life is about my relationship to God. Let's say it again. My life is about my relationship to God. Let's say it one more time. My life is about my relationship to God. Would you stand with me? You see, when we say that, we're declaring that He is God of our life. So let's say it one more time. My life is about my relationship to God. Now let's worship Him. Let's worship Him as we close this morning. And I invite you, if you need prayer, then come to God. And you can stay right there and you can pray, but there's something about it, about stepping out and coming to the front. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe you got a financial situation. Maybe you got a relationship issue. Maybe you got a health issue. I invite you to just come, bring it to God and worship Him and ask Him and see if He might not have mercy in your situation. Let's worship the Lord our God together.